Over the past month, flash floods have taken residents of Iran by surprise. Surprise because the country had been locked up in years of severe drought. And seemingly out of nowhere, it began to pour. When it did, it caught the country completely unprepared for a new kind of disaster. The World's Shirin Jafari reports.
March 28th, southern Iran. What was once a roadway is now a raging river. Water tosses cars and trucks around like they're toys. One floats by with a man clinging to its roof. This video was posted on Twitter, and it's among the many Iranians have shared online. Since March, floods have hit at least 26 out of 31 provinces in the country. One city reportedly got 70% of its annual rainfall in just one day. Dozens of deaths have been reported. And Iran's government was caught off guard. In the first few days, President Hassan Rouhani was nowhere to be seen. A photo of him circulated on social media. It showed him peeking from behind a curtain. Is it safe to come out yet? The caption read. Days later, he finally went on television and acknowledged the disaster. In a long speech, he promised a strong response. But action has been slow and insufficient. That's why some people began to take matters into their own hands. This is my friend Ali Asai. I reached him at his home in Tehran. He says when he heard about the floods, he knew immediately he had to help. After all, he'd seen how messy aid distribution gets in Iran in the aftermath of disasters. Last year, after an earthquake hit western Iran, he'd volunteered to help out. He says he saw some survivors get twice what they needed, while others got none. He says it was a mess. So after the recent floods, Ali posted a story on his Instagram page and asked for donations. In just one day, he collected about $6,000. It came mostly from his friends and family. Then he went shopping. Tents, blankets, and sanitary napkins, something that he said people forget in times of disaster. He loaded all of that in the back of his SUV and headed south from Tehran. He sent me recordings of what he saw. Here, he's trying to get to a small village that's completely surrounded by water from an overflowing river. There's no road, just water. Eventually, Ali and a couple of other men find a boat. When they cross to the other side, locals run towards them to collect the aid. Having volunteered to help after a string of disasters in recent years, Ali feels conflicted. On the one hand, he says he doesn't want to do what the government should be doing. On the other, he knows if people like him don't help, maybe nobody will. The Iranian government didn't respond to a request for comment. But I spoke with Kaveh Madani, who used to be deputy head of Iran's Department of Environment.
This is very disturbing to see, you know, people of your country going through all these troubles, which could have been avoided with some better planning and foresight.
Madani went to school in the U.S. and Europe. In 2017, he went back to Iran to work at the Ministry of Environment. He was critical of the government's environmental policies, specifically how it has mishandled water management for decades.
There was a group of the hardliners and radicals who were operating for years in a certain way. They were not happy with my statements.
Among other things, he thought the government was ignoring the effects of climate change on rainfall and the need to better prepare. The response was fierce.
They called me a water terrorist. They called me a bioterrorist. They blamed me for my efforts to ratify the Paris Agreement, arguing that I wanted to limit development in the country, you know, the same as the argument that Donald Trump is making about the Paris Agreement and how destructive it is to the economy.
Roughly 6 months into the job, Madani resigned. He left Iran and is now a researcher at Yale University. Today, he shakes his head at the government's response to the floods.
You know, why they are operating this way, why they're not so, why they're not at all prepared for evacuation and rescuing the victims and so on.
Meanwhile, the floods didn't occur only in Iran. Several neighboring countries like Afghanistan and Iraq have also been impacted. And the governments in the region weren't the only ones being caught by surprise.
For someone like me, who's a hydrologist and a climate scientist, who's been watching this region just dry out progressively for, you know, about a third of my professional career, and then to, you know, turn on the news a month ago and start to hear about all these floods, it's really crazy. So
Jay Familietti directs the Global Institute for Water Security at the University of Saskatchewan in Canada. He studied water and climate change for decades. Climate change is leading to more extreme weather around the globe, worse droughts and heat waves, bigger storms. It can also mean more sudden swings between these extremes. Familietti says climate change probably played a role in the flip between drought and flood in Iran.
But I think that when we look back on it, we probably will decide that as severe as it is, and it occurred, you know, with the timing that it did because of climate change.
Familietti says this is the new reality, and countries like Iran need to get ready.
With this increasing frequency of these catastrophic floods, we do have to ramp up our emergency response, our disaster relief preparedness all over the world.
When I call up my friend Ali in Iran again, he tells me he's already on his way to help out in another flooded city. I ask if he thinks he'll continue volunteering. Of course, he says, that's all I can do. For the world, I'm Shirin Jafari.